Do you like watching movies? Well, so do I. My name is CJ Kaiser. Listen to me and my special guests talk about the worst and the best movies of all time on this little thing I like to call
Film Chat.
I'm sorry, all circuits are busy. Please try your call again later.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Film Chat. Tonight's movie is Prince Valiant, and I'm joined by a special guest, Matt Gray. How you doing, Matt?
I'm well, Caesar. Yourself?
I'm doing fine, or kinda. We just watched this movie. And Nathan Lenton, how are you, man?
Not too bad. How are you, Caesar?
Seriously, you're not too bad after this?
Well, I came in with fairly low expectations, and they were met, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, let's a little info on this movie. Filmed in, released in 1997, starring Katherine Heigl and Stephen Moyer. You might know him as the dude from, what's that show?
True Blood. That's right.
And, Ron Perlman's in it and a whole bunch of other people.
Joanna Lumley.
Oh, she was lovely, wasn't she?
She's the only one I know.
With a total of probably 5 minutes screen time, I guess.
No.
You sure?
I would like to, before we really start, a big shout out to my wife who suggested this absolute abortion of a movie.
Yeah, I was about to get into that. I was going to blame you for tonight's movie's choice.
Joanna Lumley was the witch, right?
She was Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah, she was in there more than 5 minutes, at least, 15 maybe?
15, no.
Yeah, I reckon.
I don't think they could have afforded it. I think she was in it a total of 5 minutes. Okay, maybe six
agree.
Stretching it.
Okay. Right. So you have a Joanna Lumley obsession. Tell us about it.
Not really. I just don't recognize any of the other acts in it and any of the other actors. And I used to watch AbFab. That's about it.
What were your thoughts on the movie?
Last time I did this podcast, the film was not good, but you could not accuse it of being in any sense predictable. This is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. It ticked your kind of regulation make a film boxes, but it was numbingly predictable. Very weak recommendations from me.
At what point did you feel it was predictable? When the man in the suit of armor walked right through the bottom of the lake with water bubbles coming out of his suit. I thought that was definitely unexpected.
Well, you knew that you saw him go into the river wearing armor, and it was in this sort of happy ever after sort of scenario. He was always going to find some ridiculous way of surviving. That was predictable enough, I think. The only thing that remotely surprised me was when she died, but when the princess died, I thought that was more.
Spoilers are allowed here.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, there's not much to spoil.
As you know, here is the real spoiler. They brought her back to life.
Well, I was going to say, mildly surprised they killed her, but as soon as they did, I knew there was going to be some sort of genie in a bottle magic to save the day.
I think we kind of jumped ahead here. We never read the plot.
No, we really want to go to the end.
We have accurately encapsulated all the highlights of the film.
We've got to give the plot to the viewers who haven't seen it. And
the highlight
won't.
Of the film was catapulting a midget.
True, but like I said, we got to give away the plot before you can get into the highlights.
All right.
So according to IMDb, written by Helen Chavez, in a time now lost in the mists of memory, the great King Arthur rules in the legendary, I don't know what that word is, that is Camelot.
Would you like me to read it, Sish?
No, fuck off. His knights of the round table commit acts of daring do and spend their spare time jousting, much to the delight of the local citizens and especially to Princess Eileen. Watching her from afar is a young and experienced squire called Valiant. And when the young Welsh princess is sent home to marry Prince Arn, Valiant contrives to accompany her, blah, 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 blah. And then he falls in love with her, and she falls in love with him, and shit happens along the way, and blah, blah, blah.
Seriously, that's what they wrote?
I wish that's what they wrote. It was like, I just scrolled down, it was another 3 pages. I was like, nah.
Can I see the word you couldn't read?
Yeah, what is the word?
I want to have a look at the word you couldn't read. I don't have it in front of me at the moment, hold on.
It's the last word on the second line.
Citadel.
Citadel. Yeah.
Citadel. I've never used that word in my vocab.
You never?
What'd you call me?
He was looking at me when he said it, so it's all right.
Yeah, because you're holding the microphone.
I've never had to use that word in a sentence ever. I've never come across it.
It's in Lord of the Rings quite a lot.
Yeah.
Have you read Lord of the Rings?
I haven't read it. I watched it.
Well, try reading it.
Nah. If it's as long as the movies,
this sounds hostile. It's affected. I mean, Cesar and I are very affectionate.
Yeah, you say that now.
Well, do you or do you not agree that this was definitely a prequel to Lord of the Rings?
Well, it did have alligators that wore armor.
Yep, that was good. Killer mutant alligators.
Yep, that jumped out of the water and were the size of rhinos.
It wasn't a prequel to Lord of the Rings. It was just like picking and
of course
choosing.
It wasn't a prequel to Lord of the Rings.
No, but
Prince Valley, it goes to Mordor.
There is a prequel to the Lord of the Rings already. It's called The Hobbit anyway. But it was just a picking and choosing of every kind of predictable movie standard line. And there's a spectacular number of like cheesy Bond lines in there. Like, ooh, I've been expecting you. And let's see how these Vikings dance. And all that stuff.
There was also a really good bit where Mr. Miyagi slapped his hands and fixed the princess's knee at one point.
Who? Mr. Miyagi? Who was that?
Serious?
Yeah.
You really don't.
What just happened?
You know, do you know who Mr. Miyagi is?
But Prince Valiant's in it.
Cat in Problems.
You have heard of the movie The Karate Kid, not the Jaden Pinkett Smith.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The phone mics off. Yeah. Right.
He repairs the
I
knee.
I haven't seen it.
He repairs Daniel-san's knee by rubbing his hands. In this movie, they repair the princess's knee in a very similar way.
Ah, I thought the sword did it.
No. That was when they brought it back to life.
That was right through the chest.
Yeah, Excalibur is featured in this movie.
There was a very in-depth story points here, and you seem to have missed
it. Wow, it looks like the forums on IMDb.com are very, very different to each other.
Are you reading whilst we're talking? Are we not interesting you, Cesar?
I'm doing my job here, okay? This is what we do at Film Chat.
That's open to debate.
What is
open to debate, really. My show is open to debate.
How many stars did it get?
I'm not going to be invited back, am I?
How many
keep
stars
pushing it, and you'll be more than not invited back. Okay, so what do you think it got on IMDb from the user rating?
Oh, but users,
what is it out of?
7 users
out of 10.
Watch crap. I don't think it is a 7, but I reckon IMDb get diehard niche fans, and they'll give it a 7 for God knows what reason.
I'll give it a 3.
It got 4.9.
I win.
Here are some of the reviews. I'll give you guys a choice. Should I read the 2 out of 10 one? The 9 out of 10 one? The 10 out of 10 one?
Give us the 10 out of 10.
Well, which one's shortest?
there's 2 10 out of 10s. Holy crap. All right.
And it averaged out.
I have to have a word with my wife again.
Terrific movie. Never heard of it until I saw until I saw it on cable. Almost as good as Princess Bride. Bullshit. Should have had a wider release. Wish I had seen it in the movies. Great for all the kid and all of us. Katherine Heigl is absolutely beautiful princess. And Stephen Moyer. Oh, crap. Stephen Moyer is superb as Valiant. 10 out of 10. Now, here's 2 out of 10 by James Hitchcock. In inverted commas.
Hitchcock?
Prince Valiant is apparently based upon a comic strip. Although I must confess that I had never heard of it before seeing the film. The story is set in Arthurian Britain. Yep, and then it goes on for like 5 pages. Ooh, 6 pages.
Oh, get a life.
It's,
oh, for God's sake.
It's a 2 out of 10 movie.
Time to write a 6-page review about that.
David.
James Hitchcock. Yeah. And
that's not his real name.
Yeah,
he's
there
not
was
really admitting to his name.
No.
Oh, sorry. What did you think of the movie, Caesar?
Well, I've seen some pretty boring movies in my life. This has to be one of them.
Is this up there in your top 5?
Top 5 boring movies of all time?
Yes. Right, no, top 5 best movies of all time?
Well, wait, how many
no way.
Movies has Baz Luhrmann made?
Oh! I have to agree with you on that one. Look, the action scenes are pretty good.
No, they're not.
No, yeah, the ones with the big battles, they're pretty good. Not in the standard of, like, face-off good. I'm just saying, like, yeah. You know, they got the choreography right.
There were no doves flying around, you know.
If they had a dove, it would have been awesome. But no. But, like, it had some believability to it with the fight scenes.
I don't agree.
With the
arm and alligators going
No. That's not a fight scene.
It was a fight scene.
I don't count that as a fight scene. I'm kind of like fighting.
He beat the alligator with a giant Julius Caesar statue. You know.
I'm talking about the scenes where it's man versus man. Okay. Not the arrows, just sword on sword. They were pretty okay.
They were competently filmed. Yep. Yeah. Whatever.
But granted, we did play it on 1.5 speed.
Then we played Benny Hill music behind us.
When was this film where they... Was it a fight scene when they catapulted the midget?
That was the prequel to the fight scene. All right, let's go! When they catapulted a midget over a wall.
There were two moments in this movie where there were some great scenes of nudity.
Who was the...
It was worth it. 52... Was it 52 minutes?
58 minutes.
58 minutes into the movie. Katherine Heigl's wet butt.
Oh, it was glistening, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
And the outfit, she put on a little, you know, white slip over the top. And
perfect. But then, at 1 hour, 2 minutes.
1 hour, 2 minutes for the homoerotic fans of the genre.
The French Viking, who was the main bad guy in the film, falls over and you get a full upskirt view of his man bits.
Yeah, okay. He was wearing a kilt.
Kilt.
Yeah.
He was a French Viking wearing a kilt.
He was a Viking, but it was played by a French actor.
Vikings wear kilts, don't they?
Yeah, he must have been a French actor, because that accent was terrible.
Speaking of terrible accents, what did you think of Ron Perlman?
Ron Perlman's accent was amazing. It was the best American voice I've ever heard in a period piece set in medieval Britain.
See the Jabberwocky?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a real creature. He was a supernatural creature. Of course, he's not going to sound like anything.
No. Again, Nathan, you've missed the point.
He was a trickster.
He was a trickster. He pretended to be a Jabberwocky.
Ah. You need to pay attention in these sort of convoluted
plot lines. That's why that movie got 10 out of 10.
Yeah, right. Because they paid attention during the film.
What else was good?
The
credits, they were good.
There was a reasonably funny scene in the film, not deliberately, but a witch-type character tried to blow poisonous dust in or sleeping dust in someone's face, and then she was defeated because the person she was blowing it into sneezed at the time. She was,
All right, for the people who haven't seen the movie, Joanna Lumley, played by Morgan Le Fay, or the other way around, tries to put Katherine Heigl to sleep with sleeping dust. And Katherine Heigl sneezes, puts it back in Joanna Lumley's face, and then she falls off a rather precarious little bridge and into a big pot of acid. Why it was there, I have no idea. And then the entire castle started to fall down.
Well, you know. You need some acid.
Yeah.
For this movie.
You do if you want to watch this movie.
This is interesting. Walter...
I don't believe you.
No, it is. It would have helped the movie, I reckon.
Zombies, that's what it needs.
Let me just see who... Okay. Director was Anthony Hickox. Never heard of him, but that's not the interesting part.
The father of the bloke which gave him the 10 out of 10 review, I reckon.
Probably. But the movie was recut by the German producers while the director was away on Christmas vacation. They wouldn't fly him back to Germany to finish the film. 4 key scenes setting up its humorous tone and all religious aspects were removed.
No, they weren't.
Okay, so it's kind of like Daredevil, where they took out all the good bits until the director's cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a religious scene, wasn't there? He started praying to God to bring her back to life or whatever.
That's not, like, you know, everyone said, even atheists go, oh, God, please bring her back.
Yeah.
No. And it's Walter Gottel's last film. Was Walter the midget?
Yeah, not surprising.
No.
No, he's been in stuff since then.
Yeah, he has.
No, the midget was the guy who played Willow Umpkin in the movie Willow.
Oh, no, Warwick Davis was the midget.
Yeah, Warwick Davis.
Walter?
Everyone loves a good Warwick. He was the fourth swordsman. And it was his last film.
He was the horse.
You know, I can't even find his name in the credits.
Sir Walter, has he?
No, I got nothing.
Interesting bit about the credits. Turned out it was a pretty lean year for Mel Gibson. Because
here he is. Eric the Old.
Makeup department.
That was before Mad Max.
Eric the Old. Do you remember him?
Oh, yes. Actually, I do.
Well, he died in the year of release.
Oh, that's sad. He never got to claim his glory.
In this Princess Bride reimagination.
Funny.
So that's all the facts that are on this movie.
Yes.
Thankfully.
So what did you give it, Nathan?
What did I? Oh, God. Two. No more.
Two out of five or two out of ten?
One out of five.
Yeah. Two out of ten.
Yeah, it was awful. I said it was awful. It was predictable. It was dull. It was insipid. It was vapid. It was too long. It was awful.
Tell us what you really think.
Yeah. Sorry, because I know you brought the film.
You brought the film, and at least you paid for the pizzas.
Yeah, that was my way of saying sorry, because I knew what was going to happen. Really, I wanted to watch Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, but you know.
No. there's only going to be one good Lincoln movie this year, and it's Lincoln by Spielberg.
Yeah, but isn't Lincoln the new one coming out early next year?
It's out in America.
It's already out.
Yeah, but I don't know when it's coming out here. Do you know when it comes out?
Yeah.
Are you interested?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I know when a new movie's coming out.
How often do you get to the movies?
I went a few weeks, about a week ago, but
Twilight?
No, it was a French film, The Unstoppables. It was very good, actually. It was very funny.
The Unstoppables.
Was it a cartoon? Four guys in red outfits?
No, the Unstoppables. It's... For French words, no, it's not really. Reviewing that.
Is it about the black guy and the old white guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that got terrible reviews.
No, won all these awards in Cannes.
Yeah, but Cannes a piece of shit.
What film festivals do you think have credibility?
Duyog. Danyog.
Sorry.
Let's see.
It got about 8.5 on Rotten Tomatoes as an average. It was a good film.
Mm. I remember reading in Empire. I got 1 star out of 5. I remember reading it on Metacritic. Got a pretty low score on that.
Okay.
I can't remember. I haven't read anything good about it.
I'll write you something.
Once again, I still wouldn't have had read anything good about it.
In regards to Prince Valiant.
Oh, must be. Just on a kind of pedantic criticism of it as well. It seemed to... Well, there's, you know, unrealistic things, and there are things which... Because this is based on Arthurian legend, and it completely deviates from Arthurian legend in that it conflates the sword and the stone.
Yeah.
Like, he shall pull this sword from the stone, shall be crowned king of all England, with Excalibur. They were different swords. The sword was... Sword and the stone he didn't use to fight in battles or whatever. It was just something he pulled from the sheath to become king, whereas Excalibur was a sword he got given by a wizard or something like that way down the track.
And the movie does start with digging up Merlin's grave, and he's still perfectly pristine.
True, and...
And something about that, they dig up Merlin's grave to get his big book of magic, which is titled Merlin.
Yeah.
Self-titled magic book.
Well, you know what?
And that wouldn't make sense either, because Merlin is, in the legends, he's a weird creature that gets younger as everyone else gets older. So why would he have been this decrepit old corpse in that sense? They never read the book, I don't
know. Well, it's apparently based on a comic book. It's the first I've heard
of. It's not. It's not really. They just had the graphic novel animations in the film, and so some reviewer saw that and thought, "Oh, it must be based on a book." It's not.
What do you think of the graphic novel?
It was a highlight. Yeah, they were awfully. I could have narrated them better than that, though. It was an awful narrator for the graphic novel scenes. Couldn't hear a word he was saying.
Who was the narrator? Morgan Freeman.
No, he'd have lightened that movie up so much.
Anyone would.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
To be fair, if Joanna Lumley couldn't lodge it, no one had a chance.
But yeah, Ron Perlman did phone it in. The whole thing, he was just like, yeah.
The very last line for him of the movie was, give it to her.
Yeah.
Right at the end. Give it to her.
Yeah. But it wasn't with enthusiasm. It was like, give it to her. Where's my paycheck?
And then they had the pan out while Valiant and she kissed in the middle, and there's Pillman standing off to the right as the heroic sidekick kind of guy.
And then Warwick on the other side.
Mm.
Right? But if you, what I noticed, I don't know if you guys picked it up, it's like while they're kissing, Ron Perlman said something to Warwick, right, and Warwick starts laughing, right? But it looks like a snide comment because the way his body language was. I don't want to rewind this film because I don't want to watch it again. But it was a scene where you're like, yeah, he's probably making fun of this whole scene right here.
I mean, you're right. He really did phone it in big time because, you know, Ron Perlman, one of the great, really great, potentially great actors. I mean, everything from Name of the Rose to Hellboy to City of Lost Children.
City of Lost Children, yeah, that's a great one.
I mean...
Sniper... No, Enemy at the Gates.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
Next week?
No.
All right. Just send it to me. But, I mean, he's a truly great actor.
Mm.
But the one thing I'd read about Perlman was he always does an American movie and a French movie. You know, he does it one for one. He likes to spread his work around. And this is clearly the one he did to pay his phone bill.
I've been calling those 1-900 numbers. But, you know, oh, man. How much are you going to pay me for this movie?
What do I have to do? Just look surly? Done.
I got no idea which actors are which that you guys are talking
about. The Jabberwocky.
The Jabberwocky.
He was... What, you're saying he wasn't good? He was the highlight.
Yeah, he was a highlight because you could see he did not want to even be in that movie. He was just like...
But they're in like if you.
Well, join me for an ale.
But that's good. Like if you're gonna serve up a piece of crap, you need some sort of ironic self awareness of it. Otherwise, it's just cringe the whole time.
But I think everyone tried their hardest to act in this movie.
They did.
Oh, they did.
What was the name of the guy from True Blood again?
Stephen Moyer.
Stephen Moyer. Obviously, this was before he did True Blood.
Yeah.
His voice is barely broken in the movie. You know, he's meant to be this big, bold, brave knight, and he squeaks half his lines when he's talking. Then the other time, he's just trying to look like Ron Perlman. Yeah.
Yeah, but like... Oh, one thing that really annoyed me with his suit, right towards the end, when he gets his armor and everything, he's wearing a red cape and blue...
Blue tunic.
Blue tunic, yes, with a symbol on it.
Is that what a tunic is? I've read about them in books. I've wondered what they actually are.
I'll get you one for Christmas.
Oh, thank you very much.
It looked like the Superman costume. It really, like the cape especially. When he turned around, he looked like he was Superman.
So what's your issue with this? You don't feel that he could play Superman?
No, definitely not.
Not with that haircut anyway.
Not with that haircut, not with that voice. Not with walking underwater. It could have been Aquaman, but not Superman. Oh.
But... I mean, obviously, that was an aesthetic choice by the costume designer to go, you know, maybe a bit Superman-y. You didn't like that?
No.
You preferred maybe Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight was already in what's that great movie? Holy Grail?
Yes.
Yeah. But,
just very quickly skipping that for a moment, I saw on Facebook the other day, it's the Dark Knight behind two record players.
Yeah.
And along the desk, it says, it's just a scratch. And it's the Dark Knight with just one arm scratching the record plate.
Nice.
It was a beautiful little comic.
Well, just to clarify for some of the viewers that might be confused, it's actually the Black Knight. Yeah, but it's funnier in context. Yes. Yeah.
Have you seen Python?
One. Yeah, I've seen that one.
My favorite Black Knight, Dark Knight parody is where they did the latest Batman movie. They've got Batman standing in behind him, the Batman logo on fire. What they did is put the Dark Knight in front with his arm chopped off, and behind him a flaming bunny.
Awesome.
And it just looks like in the same pose as the Dark Knight. It was awesome. Yeah. That was my favorite parody of it. That was a much better movie. Let's watch.
I haven't seen the film. Don't understand.
You haven't seen Monty Python's Holy Grail?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Batman still.
Well, no, that's the parody of the pose. It's, they used the Black Knight with the Flaming Bunny logo.
See, I understand you haven't seen the movie, but surely you know, exist in the world. And there were posters, bus stops, everywhere, and it was literally it was Batman with the building behind him and it was on fire. And no.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, okay.
Wait, hold on.
No, your point's reasonably well, mate.
Can we get him the cover?
Yeah, I'm just reaching on the cover.
Have to.
Yep.
It's You're being educated here.
Oh, okay. That was totally worth it.
Yeah. Now, imagine the Black Knight on the cover.
Ha-ha.
Right, with the flaming bunny in the background instead of the bat logo. Yeah. Get it?
Yeah.
You happy?
Yeah.
There you go. He's happy, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to have to put that on your Facebook so people can see it.
No.
No.
People know. People will know. They'll have to raise Black Knight, Dark Knight parody. Did you have any more notes, Nathan?
Yes.
Well, I was hoping to surreptitiously slip them in, but that's now been ruled out pretty well, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, well, because we're getting close to time, so, and I'm almost out of battery on this thing. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very unfortunate. Sorry. I get catty when I'm under pressure. Jedward did a cover of that. What do you got against Jedward? They're lovely.
Besides the fact you look kind of like one of them.
I do not.
And they're twins.
I tried to do my hair like one of them once, and or like both of them, I suppose. And they've got really long, narrow heads, so the hair trick works. I've got a really round, moon-faced head, so it just kind of looked like I had a hair antenna poking out the top of my head. It didn't work at all.
I want to see that photo.
Sorry?
I want to see that photo.
It wasn't photographed. saw it in the mirror and I flattened it madly. Yeah, well, do you want to talk about the Viking Scottish thing? No, I don't
think so. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I forget what it was.
Basically, they're saying the Scots were Vikings and the Vikings were...
Oh, yes, there's a degree of irony in that they were protesting that they were about to invade the Scots because the Scots were betraying them or whatever. And they were saying, no, it was the Vikings betraying them, not the Scots. And historically, it was the Vikings that colonised Scotland before the British did. And so the Vikings and the Scots were two of the same kind.
Get your facts right. So, overall, I hated this movie. I'd probably give it half a star. Actually, no, I'll give it one.
Give it
naked butt. One and a half.
Actually, you know what? Just for that naked butt, it is worth fast-forwarding.
No, going on, you know, one of those celebrity porn sites where they take screen images from those movies so you don't actually have to watch them.
See, you know those celebrity porn sites? They do a service, service.
Just watch what you're going to say.
I will be watching. They do a public
service.
Yeah,
I know you'll be watching.
They do a public service because without them, I would not have found some of the best television in the world. Have you ever seen Spartacus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't have found Spartacus without that site showing me Lucy Lawless. Would not have seen many a shot.
So you pick your movie as TV shows on the nudity of the actresses or actors in them.
Not always, but every so often when
I'm on
those
celebrity
websites.
Have you heard this movie, Basic Instinct? It's pretty good.
Is that how you came to watch this in the first place?
Probably.
You went on the online, found your Katherine Heigl backside, naked
butt.
Whatever. This film, all right, will be worth watching it for. It wasn't. Is that yes? No?
No, well, it was my wife. She looked at it and went, she found out that it had the guy from True Blood and it was Prince Valiant. And she went, well, that's all I need. If it had the other guy from True Blood, the guy plays Eric Northman, she would have just been lying there with a jar of Vaseline. But thank God it did it.
Okay, thanks for that. any final thoughts?
Watch it. Go on, watch it. Enjoy it.
Okay. Do not listen to Matt Gray. Listen to me. Don't watch this. Just get that screen capture from the net. It's somewhere there. Damn it, I'll even probably screen capture it for you guys so you don't have to waste an hour and 28 minutes.
It's not a screen capture. You need that full 3 seconds when she walks and she chews gum at the whole same time.
24 frames each second, 3 seconds. So that's about what? 75 frames.
You're a chap for doing it.
You're way too enthusiastic about this.
Matt, thanks for this movie.
You're welcome, Caesar. I'm glad I could bring this one to you.
I'm not. I'm really not, yeah.
There are 1,000 Arthurian sort of movies and TV shows and books that have been made. There's absolutely no excuse for seeing this when there are that many other options in this genre. It was dreadful.
This one is still better than the other one called King Arthur with, from Croupier and Bourne Identity.
Oh, the one with Keira Knightley.
Yeah, with Keira Knightley. This is still better than that one. No. Yes.
I haven't seen it, but if it has Keira Knightley, I'll probably agree with that.
Man, and I actually wanted to watch Darkman 3 tonight.
That's the third one?
Oh, yeah.
Liam Neeson?
No, Liam Neeson only did the first one.
Yeah, what about, he died at the end of it.
He was great in Star Wars, wasn't he?
Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, that's been Film Chat with my special guests, Matt Gray and Nathan Lenton. We'll catch you next week with, hopefully, a better movie.
Thank you.